Now the reading today is 1 Corinthians 10 on page 1633. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. All these things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overcome you, except the one that's common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry.
Thanks, Aaron. I have a little confession before we start. My wife said to me, thanks for fixing up the video, but the reason the video didn't work in the first place is because I was meant to fix it up earlier today, and I tried to, and I thought I had, but didn't work, so that's my fault, but that didn't work. Anyway, let's pray that God help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thanks so much for your word. Thanks for the wonderful gift that it is to us. Father, as we dig into it this afternoon, please help us to be able to concentrate. Father, help us to love your word. And Father, please help us to flee idolatry. Father, help us to flee from the stuff that we love more than you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I may have mentioned this before, but one of my family's favourite TV shows is Bondi Rescue. On a Saturday night in summer, you might find us out the back of our house, sitting on the deck, sitting around the fire if there's a breeze to make it a bit cool, and watching Bondi Rescue. I think we like it because we love the ocean and the waves. I think we like it because it's on early enough that we can watch it as a whole family. It counts as family time doing that because the little girls are part of it as well. I think we like it because there always seems to be something happening. Someone's stealing something, someone's broken their leg, someone's copped a surfboard to their head, someone's having a heart attack. It's exciting, right? I think we like watching it because it shows us just how, in general terms, how stupid we are as humans. That the lifeguards will warn people. They say, you know what, don't swim over there. There's a rip, swim between the flags. The people will ignore the warning several times. And you know what? They'll need to be rescued. They'll get sucked out to sea. And some of the rescues on the boards are really awkward as well as they try and get them on. Sometimes there's two of them trying to get on the blue board. It's just, you know, at that point, they're not going to die. So we can kind of go, okay, the serious situation's kind of calmed down. And it comes a little bit funny as they try and get on the board and they're kind of clamoring on. And anyway, I used to do that kind of thing a little bit, and I appreciate the awkwardness of it. Friends, why are we talking about Bondi Rescue? Well, it's because I like it. But no, there's a better reason than that. It appears that the Corinthians might be in danger of being just like those people on the beach. They might be ignoring all the warning signs, and they might end up in a lot of trouble. Now, even though we started talking about meat sacrifice to idols back at chapter 8, and we're in chapter 10 now, Paul is still talking about it here. Now, in our first point today, he's moved on from talking about being a stumbling block to others He's saying, be careful yourself. Be careful yourself that you do not get sucked into worshipping idols. And so today is going to give us a chance to stop and to reflect. Do you have any idols in your life? Do you have things in your life that you love more than God, that you trust in more than God? Are you flirting with danger? Are you playing in the rip currents? Well, please have your Bibles open there. Our first point today is really a warning to flee from idolatry. And let's pick it up from verse 1. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Paul is going to warn the Corinthians to flee from idolatry, and he's going to use some examples from the Old Testament to do that. And so in verse 1, he makes it clear to the Corinthians that God's Old Testament people were definitely his people. And he does this in two ways. The first is by talking about baptism. Now, the Corinthians knew that a key sign for them that they were part of God's people is that they would be baptized. It was a sign that they'd been washed clean. It was a sign they were now part of God's new people. Well, Paul is saying in the Old Testament, they had a baptism of sorts in verse 2. They were baptized when they went through the Red Sea. They went from being slaves in Egypt to being God's special chosen people. Paul is establishing that the Israelites, they definitely were God's people. Well, another sign for the Corinthians that someone was a believer, a true believer, was that they participated in the Lord's Supper. You know, they ate the bread and they drank the juice. Well, it seems like God's Old Testament people, they participated in a similar kind of meal when they ate the bread from heaven, the manna, and when they drank water from the rock. God provided this food. It was a spiritual meal. Now, personally, I find verses 1 to 4 a little bit weird, and Paul is definitely applying the Old Testament here in ways that are different to how he normally does it. But what he's trying to communicate, or what he is communicating, is that, you know what, these people, God's Old Testament people, they definitely are his people. They have all the signs that they are his people. And Paul is doing that. He's doing that because these people, with all the signs, well, they fell into idolatry. Their bodies are scattered all over the wilderness, all over the desert. Pick up me again from verse 5. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. Even though these people had all the signs of being God's people, their bodies are scattered throughout the wilderness. They gave in to idolatry, and they were judged for that. And verse 6 makes it clear that these things happened as examples. Examples for the Corinthians and for us. In verse 7, Paul lists the specific example of God's Old Testament people worshipping the golden calf. And you can read about that in Exodus 32. God's people have just been rescued from Egypt. Moses is taking a bit too long up the hill. And so they say to Aaron, hey, Aaron, make us a golden calf so we can worship it. And you know what? He does. And they call it Yahweh, this kind of golden calf. And they eat and they drink and they get up and they have a big orgy together. And then in verse 8, Paul uses another example of where the Israelites are involved in worshipping another god, the god of the Moabites. And as kind of being part of that, they all commit sexual immorality. And you can kind of read about that more in Numbers 25. And it's quite an interesting story if you want to read it later on. Well, why is Paul doing this? Why is Paul combining eating food sacrificed to idols and sexual immorality? Well, it might be that those are the two big issues that Paul's been talking about since chapter 5, really. It might be that lots of people thought that worshipping other gods often involved sexual immorality. I can remember one of my lecturers at Bible college saying that he thought that when people were at these kind of dining rooms attached to temples where they were eating food or meat that had been sacrificed to idols, there would be a thing called after dinners. And he wasn't talking about little mints covered in chocolate that you'd kind of eat later on when you paid the bill or whatever. He was talking about having sex with the temple prostitutes. That's what they did after dinner. Eating in the pagan temples is really dangerous for the Corinthians. They could very easily slip into idolatry, slip into sexual immorality. Well, in verses 9 to 10, Paul gives some examples of God's Old Testament people disobeying in other ways and being destroyed, even killed by snakes. I know that some people here, like one person particularly, loves snakes, Philip Hague. I'm sure there's others who love snakes as well. I don't like snakes. I think they're a result of the fall, even though they were already there. Anyway, but being killed by snakes, that sounds bad. Just think of like one of those pits just covered in snakes, and just it's like a nightmare for me. Anyway, that sounds bad. These are examples, right? These are examples in the Old Testament. Paul's saying, don't be like them. Don't be like your cousins. They were written down as warnings for the Corinthians and for us. Well, let's pick up again from verse 12. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you're tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure. Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, be careful. If you think you're okay eating meat in the temples, be careful. Be careful that you don't fall. Remember that many of God's Old Testament people, they had the signs of being God's Old Testament people, but they got destroyed in the wilderness. But also know that if you turn to God, he'll actually help you. He'll help you to live a life that's pleasing to him. He'll help you to keep going in your faith. He will help you to endure. Well, Paul finishes this section by saying, flee idolatry. Don't mess around with it. Don't play with it. Don't flirt with it. But run from it. Now, this passage, it makes me think of the Corinthians like a small kid playing around a fire, standing on a log. And you might say to one of those kids standing around on the fire on a log, you might say, hey, be very careful doing that because you might fall into the fire. And fire is a great discipliner, right? It's firm but fair. It burns everyone who plays with it. That's kind of firm and fair. And you can imagine that kid kind of standing on the log, you're saying, don't, you be careful. And the little kid's thinking, yeah, I'm fine. I've got this. Next minute, they've fallen in the fire, they've burnt their hand, they've burnt their foot, their face, whatever it might be. And I can think of numerous examples from my own children doing things just like that. Maybe there's a family down the front who are smiling. Maybe they can too. That's actually a photo of Thomas and Henry. I don't know if you can see that. Thomas was very good at putting his hand on top of the oven, like the thing that was hot. Did it several times, and the doctor said, maybe you should do something about that. Anyway. We did. We moved. Anyway, Paul is saying to the Corinthians to be very careful. Don't think you can just kind of eat away in the pagan temples and not fall into idolatry. Now, we obviously live in a different time to these guys. We have different temples around town. Ones where you go and worship by handing over your money and buying your next little idol. Now, we thought about this a couple of weeks ago. We thought about how our purchases might affect others. Well, Paul's saying, I want you to think about something else as well. If you're living like the rest of the world, if you're living the material dream, be careful. Be careful that you don't get sucked in to loving lots more things than God. be careful that you don't fall away from Jesus. John Calvin, he's a pretty famous reformer who some of you probably know. He said that our hearts are idol factories. You get rid of one idol, you'll just create a new one. I've been talking in the last couple of weeks about my 200 series Land Cruiser. I've died to that idol. I've moved on to the new idol of long service leave in Tasmania. And I'm thinking through that through. You get rid of one idol, you just replace it with another. Friends, we need to be thoughtful with our lives, thoughtful with what we're doing. On a camp recently, someone was saying to me, how helpful is it for me to always go to the club on a Saturday night? And we're talking about this in kind of a group context. We're saying, well, you might need to think that through, whether it's actually a stumbling block to other people. Other people might have just become Christians and they see you at the club every Saturday night and they think, maybe I can get back into that and get involved in that. But we also said, be very careful yourself. If you're always at the club on a Saturday night, always hanging out with friends who are always drinking, always doing recreational drugs, and always having sex outside of God's design, what do you think that you will start to do if you're always hanging out with them? Well, after a while, you'll be drinking, taking recreational drugs, having sex outside of God's plan. Friends, we need to be mindful of others with our decisions, but we also need to be mindful of how our decisions affect us. By doing certain things, are we putting ourselves in danger? Friends, are you fleeing from idolatry in your life, or are you flirting with it? Pay attention to the examples. Listen to the warnings and run. Well, as I might have already indicated, this whole section, chapters 8 to 10, are really about eating meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul's about to tie up some loose ends with all this meat-eating kind of thing. And he starts this next section by saying in verse 15 that he's talking to some sensible people. He's appealing to the Corinthians to listen to what he's saying. And then he basically talks about participating in the Lord's Supper in verses 16 to 18. He's saying, when you drink the juice and you eat the bread, you're communicating that you're part of God's people. You're communicating that you are worshipping the one true God. So why are you doing that and also eating in the pagan temples? Well, let's pick it up from verse 19. It says this. Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Well, in verse 19, Paul restates something that he's already told us, that idols are nothing. But the challenge is what stands behind idols. And Paul says that's demons. That's the devil's little henchmen. They stand behind idols. They delight in getting people to worship anything but God. And so Paul says in verse 21, can you participate in the Lord's Supper and participate in meals that are dedicated to demons? Can you do that? Well, the obvious answer is no, you can't do that. You can't do that if you want to live a life that's pleasing to God and not arouse his jealousy, arouse his anger. So can the Corinthians eat meat sacrificed to idols in pagan temples? Well, the answer is no. No, they can't. And Paul's given three reasons so far. One is that it might cause others to stumble. The other is that it might cause the Corinthians to stumble themselves into idolatry. And the last one is that if you eat meat sacrificed to idols in pagan temples, you're actually worshipping demons. So the Corinthians need to steer clear of eating meat in these temples. But does that mean they can't eat any meat? Remember, in Corinth, all of the meat would have been sacrificed to some idol. So have they just kind of gone vegan or vegetarian from now on? Well, the answer is no. Context seems to be key. And Paul addresses two situations in verses 25 to 30, and I'll let you read them at home. But basically, the Corinthians can eat meat sold in the marketplace. Paul says, go and eat it. Don't ask any questions. Just eat it with thankfulness. They can also eat meat in other people's houses. But if someone draws attention to the fact that the meat has been sacrificed to an idol, well, then they should refrain for that person's sake. Friends, Paul wants the Corinthians to be wise and to be considerate of others. Paul actually summarizes how he wants the Corinthians to live in all of life from verse 31 and following. And these are some cracking verses I'm about to read to you. If you're thinking about getting a tattoo on your leg or your arm or your forehead, these might be the verses. It says this: "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." Paul is saying, in whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't cause anyone to stumble. Rather than thinking about yourself, think about others. Try and act for the benefit of others in every situation, so that you might actually help save some. If you come into the church office during the week, you'll often see one of us hanging out someone else's, like out the door of someone else's office. No one wanted to volunteer for the photo, so it's just some blank offices. But often, this is a Friday, right? So that's why Jason's light off, because it's his day off. But and that's why my light's on and Sarah's light's off and Chris's light's on. Anyway, but some of the people there, Catalina mostly, didn't want to volunteer for the photo. So that she's not in the photo. But often we're hanging outside each other's offices, and sometimes we're talking about mountain biking, sometimes we're talking about running, sometimes we're talking about eating gels, sometimes we're talking about the footy or whatever it might be. But often we're asking each other for advice on how to be wise, how to be helpful in a particular situation. Because God's word doesn't have a verse for every situation that you might come across in your life. But God expects us to use his word. He expects us to pray. He expects us to let the Spirit work. He expects us to use our brains. And he expects us to talk to other trusted Christian people. Friends, Paul has been talking about meat or food sacrificed to idols for 3 chapters. He's been saying, be mindful of others. Be prepared to lay down your rights. Be also mindful of yourself, that you don't fall into idolatry. And in all of your life, whatever you do, try and bring glory to God. And remember, that's going to call for wisdom. So make sure you read the word, make sure you're praying, making sure you let the Spirit work in your life, make sure you're using your brain, making sure that you talk to other Christians about how you might use your life in a way that honors God in every single thing that you do. Well, friends, I want to finish by asking the question, what is the general direction of your life? Where is your life headed? What's your 5-year plan? Is it to finish school? For some of you, that's coming close. Is it to finish uni or your trade? Is it to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend? Is it to get married? Is it to buy a house? Is it to have some children? Is it to retire? Or is it something else? Friends, as you consider the future, can I encourage you to be super careful that you don't fall into idolatry? Work out the things in your life that you love or trust in more than God. And they might even be good things. There might be things like your family or your friends or mountain biking or other sports or your career or stuff. These things are good gifts from God. But when they become ultimate things, things we love more than God or trust in more than God, that's an idol, and it can be any good thing in your life. Be honest with yourself, and maybe be honest with some other close Christian friends. Be accountable to each other. But don't just think about your idols. Think about how you might be causing others to stumble. Think about how you might lay down your rights for other Christians. Think about how you might lay down your rights so that other people can hear about Jesus. Friends, Paul says that we live in the culmination of the ages. That means the only thing left for Jesus to do is to return and judge the world and to take his people home. So whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it so that others might trust in Jesus, so that others might stick with Jesus. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, please help each of us to flee from idolatry. Father, help us to have a chance during the week to think about what might be some of the new idols in our hearts. Father, help us to acknowledge that when we get rid of one idol, we'll just find another one. Help us to be good at identifying them. Father, help us to be in good Christian community where we can share our struggles, where we can pray for each other, where we can talk issues through, where we can help each other to be wise in whatever we're doing so that we might bring you glory and honour. Father, please help us to use all of our lives for your glory. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.